and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. And you just, again, this is a prayer. It's also a song that Hannah is writing. In the previous chapter, her story was that she was a barren woman, but God had given her a child, and not just one child. He gave her multiple children. And this is, you know, it's like on the other side of the trial and things that are birthed on the other side. For Hannah, it was a song that was birthed, you know, out of that trial. So her words, when she's saying, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation, this is her giving praise to God for what he has done for her. Verse 2 says, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Now the bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive, he bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. We'll stop there with our reading. I want to just kind of continue this little journey when people go through trials, and we all have them, but how songs are birthed, you know, through some of the things that we go through. And, you know, as we were just kind of going through the lesson previously, we went back to David, and David wrote a song, you know, after he had some things that he had overcome. I also talked to you all about Horatio Spafford, and a man that had lost everything, but yet in the midst of his trial, a song was birthed, and that song, you know, after losing his son, after losing his daughters, after losing his business, losing money, the song that was birthed through his trial was the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And we all still sing that today and still feel the presence of the Lord, you know, when we sing it. But songs come through things that we go through. And I read this quote kind of at the end of our lesson last time, and I want to start off with this quote here. It's in the Message Victory Day, and it is paragraph 32. I'm sorry, 139. 139 is where I am. All right, great. It seems like the Christian life, if the fellow is not absolutely centered on Christ, the Christian life seems like, and I like the term that he's using, it seems like it holds so many disappointments. Now, the statement the prophet is making, if you're not absolutely centered on Christ, because, you know, when you're centered on Christ, one of the things that you come to realize in your Christian journey, no matter, you know, how long you've been a Christian, one of the things that you come to realize is that in your life, nothing is going wrong. Nothing. The reason we can say that is because the scripture says, well, that's one of the scriptures. I wasn't going to say that, but but y'all know the word. Y'all are the word. Y'all the living, the walking Bible. All things work together for good. All right, I say that too. But what I was going to say is that the steps of a righteous man, the steps of a righteous woman are actually ordered of the Lord. So there's nothing that's going on in my life that is actually wrong. My steps have been ordered. And since my steps have been ordered, all things are working together for my good. Now, I don't feel good, but it's still working together for my good. It says this, it seems like the Christian life, if the fellow is not absolutely centered on Christ, the Christian life seems like holds so many disappointments. But these disappointments are God's divine will happening for us. Now, it don't seem like it would be that, but it's God's way of doing things. He lets us hit the river to see what we'll do. Moses led the children of Israel right in the path of duty, and Pharaoh's army behind him, and the dust boiling from 500,000 men in arms, and there was 2 million helpless Jews with nothing standing there, men, women, children, and so forth, and the Red Sea had them cut off. The Dead Sea, the Red Sea had them cut off. There's no place to go, see, but Moses had a V-Day when he prayed through. He went and began to cry out to the Lord, and the Lord said, why are you crying to me? I commissioned you to do it. Speak to the children that they go on in the line of duty. Amen. There you are. Don't cry out to me. You're commissioned to take these people over there. Just speak to them that they go forward. Stay straight in the path of duty. Amen. I like that. He says, what a courage that ought to be for the sick person. What a courage that ought to be for the backslider. Turn yourself around and start back. Stay in the line of duty. It's God's business to open up Red Seas. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You mean I ain't got to do that? I just got to get to the Red Sea. But it's God's business to open up the Red Sea. Oh, Lord. Amen. I that's the God that I serve. That's the God I want to serve. Amen. It's God's business to open up Red Seas. It's God's business. You just speak and move forward. That's all you have to do. It says Moses, the great V-Day, was at the sea down there. Oh, what a V-Day that was for Moses and for the children of Israel who obeyed the voice of their prophet when they spoke and went forward. Moses said, you've seen 10 miracles already, and still you doubt. Now, when he's referring to that, these are the plagues that hit Egypt. And many of those plagues came because Moses actually spoke the word, and here these things happen. So here they saw 10 miracles, and then they get to the Red Sea and they start complaining. The question is, what have we seen God do? And why are we complaining now? What have we already seen him do? And why are we now complaining? Amen. It's a time to check ourselves, right? It says this. It says, still you doubt. And he started walking towards the sea with that stick in his hand. And God sent in a wind over the night and blowed that sea from one side to the other. They walked across on dry land, a V-Day. Looky here, they stood, even our text today said that they stood and sang the song of Moses on the sea of glass mingled with fire. See, they sung of Moses when he crossed over and he didn't know what to do. He got over. Here come Pharaoh's army trying to impersonate the things that he was doing. Carnal comparisons. And what happened? The sea fell in and drowned them, everyone. And he saw the dead taskmasters. Miriam grabbed a tambourine. And see, this is where she's getting so inspired. She's getting ready to sing a song. Mary grabbed a tambourine and down the bank she went, beating this tambourine. And the daughters of Israel followed her. And I love that. I love that statement that they saw Miriam with the tambourine and dancing and singing, and they didn't just stand and look at her, but they followed her. They got out there and they followed her. And I can see others probably grab their tambourines and they start dancing and praising God and worshiping. And they just had a real, real jubilee, especially looking at the thing that they had just overcome. 400 years of bondage, 400 years of it. And now these people that have had you in bondage, they're dead in this Red Sea. I mean, it should generate a shout, you know. And there are some things that that we pray for years. And when God finally come through for us, all we got is a silent praise. I'm gonna say this. We open up this flow for praise reports every Wednesday. Some of y'all, God done did some great things for us. Y'all act like God ain't did nothing. You need to open up your mouth and don't. I just don't want people to think. Who care what they think? You prayed over that. God answered your prayer, right? I mean, this ain't, you know, this. I waited a long time for this, so I'm not really concerned about what people think. I'm just here to give God praise, and your testimony releases other testimonies. So let's don't sit here and act like God ain't done nothing. Anybody got a testimony? Come on now. Come on. Everybody got something they can say about the Lord. And if you ain't got nothing to say, Lord, give me a testimony because I want to say something. Amen. They said, make known his deeds. That's what David tells us. Make known his deeds. Here it says, Miriam grabbed the tambourine down the bank. She went beating his tambourine. Daughters of Israel followed her, shouting and beating tambourines and dancing. Moses sung in the spirit. If that ain't an old time Holy Ghost meeting, I never seen one. Says these Egyptians that you look at today, you'll never see them again. Amen. What a day. It's all over. Someday there'll come another V-Day for the Christian too. That's right. He's referring here in this message, Victory Day, to a scripture out of Revelation 15. We'll read that, and then we will move to the book of Exodus, because that's where they're referring to in Revelation 15. So let's just catch a couple verses out of Revelation 15. And again, this is after a victory, a song is generated. We saw that with Hannah after she got her prayer answered. God blessed her, opened up her womb. A song was generated. Glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. I remember sharing with some people. They were talking about how, we should sing from the Blue Book. And if anybody, now let me put it this way. Only message churches even know what the Blue Book is. I mean, you can't go to a Pentecostal church or Baptist church and tell them you need to be singing out of the Blue Book. We only use terms like that in the message. And I was telling them, say, you know, I certainly appreciate the songs in the Blue Book. I do. Don't get me wrong. I says, but I wouldn't limit my church to only singing out of the Blue Book, because what you're doing is stifling the new gifts. When you say all we can do is sing out of the old, sing from the old gifts, what about the new gifts where God's giving them some new songs? Don't stifle those gifts. Let them also be expressed in church. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here, Revelation 15 says, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Verse 4, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Now here, you know, Brother Branham is bringing out this scripture and saying the scripture even tells they got victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name. We know that this scripture actually pertains to tribulation. I realize that. And with them actually singing the song of Moses, we know that this actually deals with the Jews. But here in the tribulation, them getting victory, it says they sung the song of Moses. We want to go back now and see what the song of Moses is. And it usually comes after a great victory. Exodus 15 is where we find the song of Moses, but I have to go back to chapter 14 just for a little bit, because 15 is where the song is, but 14 tells us what happened for them to get the song. And chapter 14, verse, let's start at verse 10, and verse 9. Verse 8, I'm sorry, it's a lot here, and I'm trying to shorten it. But verse 8, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. I could just read real quick and not say nothing. But I want us to just try to understand what we're reading here. Let me, if I could put it in easier terms, Pharaoh didn't want to do what he was doing. God made Pharaoh do what he did. And not only that, the scripture actually says that God is the one that kind of created Pharaoh to do exactly what he did, made him for that purpose, in order to kind of have a heart to be able to come after the children of Israel the way he came after. Now, I'm saying this for a purpose. There are people in your life that God has assigned. Are y'all okay? Harden their hearts to make them the way that they are in order to get greatness out of you. Amen. And you just be so upset with these people, but God harden their hearts. God make them do these things to see what you're going to do about it. Amen. Look at it. Verse 8. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves. I mean, they're just thinking death immediately. We're dying, you know. Where there are no graves, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? And look at this. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? What happened when we get into a little trial, that we start thinking about where we was actually better than where we are? It says, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. God don't want us thinking like that, because they didn't realize they were in a prime position to see God do something that had never been done before. They were in prime position to see a miracle, but all they could see is Pharaoh's army. But God don't want us looking at, you know, the evil report. Let's look at what the word of God has promised us, and amen, and let's go forward with that. God, I don't know how you're going to open, like Brother Branham said, it's God's business to open up the Red Sea. We here now, we here. We need to get through this somehow, and God, we need you to do it. Sometimes they have what they call some things are what we call a God-sized job. Nothing we can do about it. It's a God-sized job. Verse 13 says this, And I want y'all to kind of be on the scene here, because these people really, I mean, you got 2 million people screaming and yelling at you about, we should have just stayed in Egypt. Why are you going to bring us out here like this, Moses? I mean, you can imagine what Moses must have been feeling. A lot of pressure. But here Moses makes a statement in verse 13. He says, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still. Now this is difficult, y'all. This ain't easy. Don't try to get no sword out. Don't try to pick up no rocks. Don't try to do nothing. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now, everything Moses just said was by inspiration. God did not tell Moses to say that. That was actually, if I can put it this way, that was not thus saith the Lord. That was thus saith Moses. But you know what? When God is dwelling on the inside of you, and Brother Branham said that all heaven will back up what you say. And Brother Branham, I mean, it tells us that Moses spoke this by inspiration. How we know? We'll read this a little bit before, because in verse 14 it says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Now Moses just speaking by inspiration. Inspiration. God ain't told him to say none of this. And look at what happened in verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me?" Speaking to the children of Israel that they go forward. Now, when I look at verse 13 and 14, I don't see Moses crying. But here's the thing, you got to be able to read between the lines, because something happened between verse 13 and 14, verse 14 and 15. Moses began to cry. Moses began to seek God, like, Lord, what are we going to do? Now, you the one just said, the Egyptians you've seen today, you ain't going to see them no more forever. Don't cry, just speak and move forward. Now, he gives them some instruction. He just don't leave them hanging out there. He says, lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And then he says one other thing that I think going to help them, and hopefully this help you. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. Now, when you see them coming, it's because I made them come. I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. See, I was trying to quit. I was really trying to quit. But let me just keep reading. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me on upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And here's the beautiful part. He didn't tell Moses what he was going to do. Like, he don't tell us everything. He don't tell us exactly what he's going to do. We just got to walk by faith. He said, now just take that rod, stretch it out, and tell them to go forward. And they're going to follow you. I'm going to harden their heart. I'm going to make them follow you. But I'm going to get me some honor. How are you going to get honor, Lord? Moses didn't even think about asking that question. But God didn't have to say anything. All he wanted Moses to do was just take the people forward. Just take them forward. Take them forward. Now, I won't read, because we know the rest of this story is that the children of Israel went across on dry land. And as they're going across on dry land, Pharaoh thought that they would follow them. And when Pharaoh's army got there in the midst of that sea, God had Moses turn around, stretch that rod back, and now the sea closes up on Pharaoh and his army. God got honor that day by drowning Pharaoh's army in a Red Sea. Sometimes we just got to let God got, let me say it like this. God got a bigger and better plan than what we have. I need to hear that for myself. Let me say that. Let me speak that to me. Brother Jack, God got a bigger and better plan than what you think you got. Just be obedient. Just be obedient. So when they see Pharaoh's army drowned in the Red Sea, this is where the Song of Moses comes. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. For he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And Moses just singing, y'all. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. We see words like that also in the book of Psalms. When you read David's writing, he uses these same words a lot of times. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Not only songwriters do this, but I'm sure all of us as saints, we go through things in life, and either while we're in the midst of it, sometimes a song is birthed while we're in the midst of it, and then there are other times where when we get through it on the other side of it, that song is birthed. But there are times that what actually keeps you moving forward is a song that God has placed in your spirit. And that song just brings encouragement and brings strength. Sometimes you make up your own words to things. Amen. But that's something that just changes your attitude, your outlook, and it takes the gloom away, right? And next you just begin to you begin to see yourself coming out of that, right? A song is a very powerful weapon that God gives us. It says this, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And now Moses can say the Lord is a man of war because remember he told him to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God did everything. It was a God-sized job. And Moses and them, all they did was stretch out the rod, walk across the sea, and God did the rest. Look, it says, the Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency that thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee, my God, thou sendest forth thy wrath which consumed them as stubble. Now, even when Moses writes the word that they rose up against thee, well, how did they rise up against God? This was Moses and the children of Israel battle. But he said he rose up against thee. That means the God that was dwelling inside of Israel, you rose up against him. My God, God know how to fight your battles. You are his people. You are his sons. You are his daughters. And he knows how to fight your battle. He says this, he says, verse 8, and with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as in a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine army, they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. He goes on and says, and thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thy inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now I can tell you, we're not even going to go there, but I can tell you, when they got to that next trial, you know what they did? They start complaining again. I mean, God just opened up a Red Sea, drowned all your enemies, and now you're going to start complaining about not having no water? Later on, we find out that this is where Moses had to hit a rock, and God brought some water, you know, out of a rock, and, you know, speaking to a rock, well, hit a rock this time, but then he told him to speak to the rock the next time. But God showed a man that he was more than capable of handling this problem that Moses thought he had, and the children of Israel thought they had. God was more than capable of handling. And as Brother Branham said, it's God's job to open up the Red Sea. After trials, songs are birthed. There is one other scripture that I want to bring to your attention tonight. There was a time, let me read this. When a song is being written, and when we looked at this that we just read, there was a lot of glory and honor going to God in the midst of this song. I'm going to read a story out of the book of Judges, and there was another battle that was going to be had, and I want to just kind of set this up the right way. This battle in Israel's history, they were led by a military leader by the name of Sisera. Barak. They were led by Barak. But the problem with Barak is that he didn't want to go to battle unless he had the presence of the prophetess Deborah with him. And Deborah prophesied and told him exactly what was going to happen and that how, you know, they were going to have the victory. But because Barak was afraid to go out to battle, that God would actually give the victory to a woman rather than to him. And, you know, the story goes where they went out to battle and Deborah had to join them, you know, on the battlefield. They just wanted her presence to be there. And I always, every time I read that, it just didn't have settled well in my spirit. Why would you take one of the mothers or the daughters of Israel out to the battlefield because you don't feel brave enough to handle this battle? Even though you got thus saith the Lord, you still wouldn't handle the battle. You have to take the mother, you know, out there with you. Something's wrong with this picture. And even Israel having to be led like this. Well, they got the victory because Sisera, I believe, went into the tent, and then he had, I think Jael was her name, and she took a nail and put it in this man's temple and killed him, and she got the victory for Israel. Now, the problem is when Deborah wrote her song after the victory, some things that she put in her song that just didn't sound right. So I want to read that in a little bit, and I want to tell us that even when we're writing songs, make sure the glory is going to God. Amen. Make sure the glory is going to God. You got to watch how you write your songs. I mean, nowadays we have singers that write songs and my God, you have to question, what do you mean by that? What is that? If I got to question what you mean, and are you trying to have your song where it can go both ways? You know, Christians can listen to it, and also people of the world can listen to it. You got to watch these things. Amen. I can tell you this much. If you put a lot of Jesus in your song, they won't play it on secular radio. If you put a lot of Jesus in it, they won't play it on secular radio. But if you take the Jesus out and you just make it, you know, you don't know whether it's a love song or a love God song. Right? I mean, we got to be careful with this type of stuff. Watch what you put in your song. Amen. This story, Judges chapter 5. Verse 1 says, Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. Even I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel. And watch this. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that Deborah arose. She's lifting herself up here now. And so this song is kind of changing a little bit. We started out praising God and giving God the glory, but now we want to let people know that things didn't change until I came on the scene. See, her song the sound of the song just ain't right. Right? And she says, until that I, Deborah, rose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way, they that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, the son of Abinoam. And I just, you know, every time I read that particular passage of scripture, I just watch how she injected herself in the song until I did this. And it's not about you. It's not anything you did. God actually put the word in your mouth and gave you the vision that you could give to them so that they could have strength to go out into the war. But when she begins to elevate herself in it, that's where the song begins to go awry. Now, one time I was teaching this on the call that I used to do on a weekly basis. We were teaching through the Book of Revelation, and I was teaching out of Book of Revelation 15, and I, you know, went back to Exodus 15 and tied those things together, and then brought in this story of Deborah. And one of the brothers had mentioned something to me. He said, Brother Jack, you know, you were right with that. His name was Brother Doug. He lives up in Canada. And he had mentioned something to me about the children of Israel. And I think I might have this. I want to read just about the Greek occupation of Israel. I think that's right. Okay, yeah. So the children of Israel, there was a time in their history where they were prohibited from reading the Torah. And what the Torah is, it's the first five books of the Bible. That means They were told that they could not read the first five books of the Bible. They were prohibited, you know, from reading. Whoever had them in captivity would not allow them to read their Bible. Can you imagine that? Not being allowed to read your Bible? Mm-hmm. Those things are happening again. Right? But here they would not be allowed to read their Bible, and especially the first five books, because it's something about especially when we was reading there in Exodus, people get motivated when they see what God did, you know, in days past. Like, if he did it back then, I know he can do the same thing for me. So they took that from them and would not allow them to read the first five books of the Bible. So what happened with the priests is that they would memorize the first five books of the Bible. They knew it from memory. The priests would. So even when they were in captivity, this statement, it was during the time of the Greek occupation of Israel, around the time of the Maccabean revolt, the Greeks put up a statue of Zeus in the temple and poured pig's blood on the temple steps and did a lot to suppress the Jews, including forbidding the reading of the Torah. The method of study using the other books of the Tanakh to compare with the Torah is called half-Torah. And most synagogues today still have regular half-Torah studies. So what would happen in the half-Torah is that they would take other situations in the Bible, and then they would kind of compare that or parallel it with things that had happened previously. So it says, since the priests had the Torah memorized, they took some of the other books of the scripture and would find stories that could connect with events in the Torah. They connected the story of Exodus with the story of Deborah. They connected. Now, here's the thing that we see some of the parallels in this. And as Brother Doug was telling me about this, I start just looking at it a little deeper. And In Exodus 14 and 15, they were forbidden to teach. And Judges 4 and 5 was actually taught as a parallel story of Exodus 14 and 15. In Exodus 14 and 15, Pharaoh was the leader of the army. In Judges 4 and 5, Sisera was the leader of the army. Pharaoh had chariots in his army, or for his army. Sisera also had chariots for his army. I put this: Pharaoh lost at the Red Sea, and Sisera actually lost at the River Kishon, if you go back and read Judges 4. The Egyptian army was drowned in the Red Sea, and also what we find in scripture, Elijah slew the false prophets of Baal at the brook Kishon, 1 Kings 18:40. And the other thing that we find is that after both of these particular trials in the history of Israel, a song was birthed. So after Exodus 14 and 15, Moses sang a song, but after the victory, Miriam picked up the timbre and followed, leading the prophet Moses. Make sure I got that. Miriam followed the leading of the prophet Moses in the victory song. Now, I want to say that Moses starts singing first, and after Moses starts singing, she followed the prophet with the timbre dance, repeating the things that Moses had said. But when it came to Deborah, she led in a victory song, not necessarily following the prophet, but she once says, "Until I arose, these things didn't change." She took more glory on herself, or she took part of the glory on herself and gave part of it to God. I want to encourage you, if God's going to give you a song of victory, give God all the glory. As you know, you ain't have nothing to do with that. That was a God-sized job, and only God could do it. So give God all the glory. Praise God. When you're writing a song, make sure you're giving a song back to God to give him all the glory. It's so important. We don't make the song about ourselves. This is why I'm just, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm out here. I'm out here now. We don't even sing songs around here that bring glory to Brother Branham.
That's right.
You know what the prophet actually told us? He says, if you're reading the Bible and you look in there and you can't see Christ, you need to go back and read it again. And it says, he is the principal thing of the Bible. Christ is the principal thing of the Bible. And with him being the principal theme of the Bible, he should be the principal theme of everything else that we do. So when we write a song, Christ needs to be the principal theme of the song.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm going to say it again. Christ needs to be the principal theme of the song. We cannot sing songs to bring glory to Brother Branham. I mean, y'all know some of these songs. I know one of them I heard, he was a Jesus man. There's been a lot of them that used to come out and they'd just be singing, you know, and it just seemed like everything to promote Brother Branham. No, that's not what we're doing. We want to promote Christ, right? And I mean, you know, some songs, like, you know, I don't mind. If you sing a song like "Can't You See Why I'm So Happy," I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken through the message of Malachi 4. Nothing wrong with that, right? Because we accepted this word. But when it started moving to, you know, just everything about Brother Branham, no. He told us himself not to sing songs like that. He said Christ was the principal theme of it all. Amen. 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 I done been in meetings and I hear that and I just, can't sing it. Because that ain't what God called us to do. Amen. But you bring up, oh, the blood of Jesus, you get everything out of me. And I'm going to sing it. Amen. You bring it, make it about Christ. Make the song about Christ. Amen. It's not about anybody else but Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Trying to think of this song. I don't know if I have it here. I don't think I have it here. I know I got some else, but I want to... It was Fanny Crosby. And Fanny Crosby, she's written many of songs. And one in particular, she had a friend of hers that wrote a tune. She could play it on the piano, but she had no words for this. And she just was like, I need to get some words to this. So she went to Fanny's house. And she said, Fanny, I got this tune, but I have no idea. I don't have no words to it. I don't know what to do with this. So Fanny went and got a chair and she sat down and she started praying. She said, just play the tune for me. And while the lady was playing, Fanny was praying. And she kept playing and Fanny praying. Kept playing and Fanny praying. And then the lady said, God give you anything? What is it, you know, anything to this? And Fanny say, it sounds like blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased of God. I'm born of his spirit, washed in his blood. She said, this is my story. And not only that, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen.
Just giving God glory in everything that we do. I believe all of us are going to have a song of victory. We ain't got one now. We're going to get one. And you get many of them because you have trial after trial, test after test, but God delivers us from them all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful, Lord, for your word, the strength, encouragement, correction, everything we need, Lord, it comes in the word. We thank you for the gifts of those that you give, Lord, to write songs. Songs that bring glory and honor to you. We trust, Lord, that the songs would be used to be an encouragement and be a strength to the body of Christ all over the world. We ask, O Lord, that you help us to keep our eyes on you in the midst of it. Sometimes you don't explain everything to us like you didn't explain everything to Moses and the children of Israel, but all you wanted them to do is keep walking by faith. And that's what you ask us to do, Lord, the same. Just keep walking by faith. You got it under control. It may seem like a disappointment, but God, you are in the midst of it, and you are ordering every step. So help us, oh God, just to keep our eyes on you and to trust you, Father, in the midst of it all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let me give you tonight's announcements. So Sunday morning, we'll have our time of prayer from 9 to 10. The service is at 10:30. Sunday school continues for our youth and young adults. And virtual streaming also continues through our church website. Some that might have been streaming on Sunday, I heard that we had some issues with our stream, but we also found out that it wasn't us. We use a platform called Restream, and Restream had a global issue that did impact us. So we apologize about that, but we're certainly doing the best we can to try to get through those things. The brothers are troubleshooting and doing all they can, so we thank God for our brothers. We also have streaming on our church website, john423.org. This Sunday, Brother Jonathan Houchin from Indiana will be with us, and I'll be looking forward to having him on this Sunday, so keep that in mind. I know he'll also be preaching for Brother Gene, I think tomorrow night, and maybe even Sunday night, so if you want to go and be in fellowship, I'm sure that you'll be blessed. All right, some upcoming meetings. Shekinah Living Word Tabernacle, Brother Mario Luzma. He's a pastor there. They're having an anniversary celebration, and they have a Friday night service, November 29th. This is Friday after Thanksgiving. Saturday, November 30th at 7 p.m. I am scheduled to speak on the Saturday night service. And then Sunday, December 1st at 12 p.m., they're holding the services at New Jerusalem Church of God. And this is 1599 Port St. Lucie Boulevard, Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34952. And also the following weekend, House of Fellowship there in Sarasota. Brother Danny Steeman, the pastor, they're having their anniversary meetings. And that's going to be Friday, December 6th at 7 p.m. Saturday morning, they have a meeting December 7th at 11 a.m. And then after the service on Saturday morning, they have a fellowship meal there on the property. That'll be happening. Then they have their Sunday morning service December 8th at 11 a.m. So those are anniversary meetings there for Brother Danny Steemans in Sarasota. Our giving is through Zelle, PayPal, or Cash App. Those are online platforms. We prefer Zelle because they don't take fees. But if you have to use PayPal or Cash App, the information is there on the screen. Zelle and PayPal is giving at john423.org. Cash App is $SpiritandTruthT, and we also have our mailing address on the bottom of the screen if you desire to mail an offering in. Amen. Also, I just wanted to just mention that I did receive notification that the Wesco family has asked for our prayers on behalf of Brother Wesco. They had to admit him into hospice, and they are kind of keeping this private. I shouldn't say private. They're not letting everybody know where he's at, because as a family, they just want this time with him. And they just ask that we as a church and all the other churches would just keep him in prayer. You know, the doctors are saying one thing, but they're just trusting the Lord that God will just do something different than what the doctors are saying. So please continue to keep the family in prayer, and You know, we just trust the Lord, you know, for Brother Wesco. Thank God. Thank God for this man of God. But let's please keep him in prayer. Amen. Him, Sister Wesco, Sister Pam, Sister Tina, all the Brother Joe, all the grandkids, great grands, you know, just the entire family. Let's keep them in our prayers. Amen. Before we leave tonight, do we have anybody that wants to share testimony or a prayer request? Okay, I got one hand here. Amen.
God bless you, saints. It is so good to be back among you all. And I just want to say thank God for traveling mercy. And also asking for prayer for my brother-in-law, Kenny. He's going into surgery. I believe it's hip surgery on Monday the 18th.
Okay. All right. Certainly.
God bless you. Just have a testimony. This whole entire year, even last year, I had a desire to go back to school for my bachelor's degree, but I was worried about it because I didn't want to pay for it. and I just didn't know how it was going to work out. So I kind of had one thing in mind, but I just wasn't sure. So I just started talking to some advisors recently at the college and, you know, just trying to get a feel for what I should do. And so I went last Friday to speak to an advisor, and she gave me a game plan that would help me to start school in the spring and finish by fall with the bachelor's degree. And so I was like, okay, I'll do it. And she's like, well, how many classes do you want to try to take? I'm like, all of them if I could. But I said, I want to at least try 5 each semester so I'll be done. And so she's like, okay, how are you going to pay for it? Are you going to use, you know, a loan, financial aid? And I was like, it's not really my desire to do that. I'll do it if I have to, but I really don't want to. I said, I'm going to try to do it, pay for it myself. So she's like, okay, that's fine. So I went home and signed up for the classes, and it didn't show me the price of everything right then. So I just was like, okay, whatever. So the next day, it was Saturday, I looked again, and I looked at the price, and it was substantial. And I was like, yeah, there's no way I can pay for that. And I was upset about it because I was like, I don't want to take out a loan, but the amount would have been crazy if I tried to pay for it. So I kind of went to sleep with a heavy heart, and even coming to church on Sunday, I came with a heavy heart, and I was just, you know, thinking about it, and it was just really putting me down. But at the end of Brother Kwaku's message, when he prayed, I can't remember exactly what he said, but pretty much he said, ask what you want and don't doubt. So I said, you know, God, I really want to be able to pay for school. I just need a way to pay for school. And so when we left and I was with my parents and we were heading to go eat, I was like, well, let me just tell them what I'm looking at. So I told them, like, I will probably have to take out loans in order to pay for school because this is that and the other. And so they're all like, that sounds very expensive. It doesn't sound right. And I was like, well, I don't know. It could be, I mean, everything is going up in price, so that could just be up in price. So they're like, well, my mom asked, she said, did you see a breakdown? I said, I couldn't find one, but I'll try to look for it when we go home. So when we went home, I went back onto the website to see a breakdown. And when I broke it down, I come to find out they had me on out-of-state tuition instead of in-state tuition. And so it was raising the price like 5 times what it should have been. And so I was like, there's the issue. So I went to... I told my parents, and my mom's like, oh, this is what you have to do. You have to take this stuff up to the school and show them that you live in state. So we were getting all that together. Then I looked at a message I got, and the message literally said, lower your tuition, and all you have to do is give these things. So I just had to provide vehicle registration and my license, like a copy. So I sent that there. And so that was Monday that I did that. And then Tuesday, I looked again and had brought the price down to a quarter of what it was. And I will be able to pay for it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Make me want to run around the church. She paying for it. Amen. Got a hand back here in the back. Amen. Oh, you got a hand up here somewhere? Okay, all right.
God bless you, church. This last year has been it's been more than a blessing, but it's really been a challenge. I know for me and my wife, our biggest thing was, you know, especially the way that things work in this world, like, hey, I think we would like to have our kids stay at home, you know. And I was just praying on that. I was like, by the time I was like, God, both of us are working, how these kids are gonna stay home? So at the time, I prayed on it. You know, at first, you know, you get to a point, you're like, how is it? And I went, don't worry about it. If that's what God wants, it's gonna happen. Mm. Shortly after that, we found out that my wife is pregnant. Mm. And then I was like, well, okay, God, hey, we appreciate, you know, my a praying wife. Listen, I'm praying wife connected to God. Some things will happen.
Amen.
So like I said, we found that out. And then like I said, through all this, I'm like, okay, well, God, this is another thing. You know, I'm like, okay, well, you won't give me more than I can bear. So you know, and then after that, it went from that to she called me one day. And this was something that's been on my heart for a while. And we just said that I knew, I just had to let y'all know and just how God works. My wife, she was said one day, she was like, you know what? God told me to stop working, you know? And I it was just a calm came over me. You know, I didn't really even have a reaction. It just was calm. But she was like, okay. The next day she came, she was like, oh, well, I got to go to work because of this, because of that, kind of like, I don't know, talking herself back into going to work. Mm. And I talked to her. I said, hey, if that's what God told you to do, do it. Mm. Who am I to get in between what God told you to do? Mm. So that was that morning. That day, she quit. She haven't been back since. Mm. And then shortly after that, like I said, that's when we started getting everything apart, just checking out, you know, asking some of the brothers and sisters in church, hey, how's this, how's everything? And to be able to not just take the kids out of the school, but to put them in homeschooling, and then two out of the three kids were accepted right away, and the devil tried to fight us with one of the kids where they started school 6 weeks later. Mm. Where they couldn't find the information from the other school, they wouldn't release it. Mm. They was just we had to go to school board, but you know it was worth it. Mm. Like looking now, just even these last few months, just looking like, Lord, I had no idea how all this was gonna work. Mm. Between my wife being at home, things going up, kids being at home, Lord just threw it all, made a way.
Amen.
You know, and like you say, it's just. Even the things that seem hard, he's doing it for your good. We just don't see it at the time.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is a hand back there? Okay. All right.
God bless you guys. I want to thank you for your prayers for my landlord and his wife. Literally, after you guys prayed that same week, you could just feel a difference just like in the conversations they have and just like a sweetness came over her, and like you could just tell just the difference from you guys. God just answered your prayers. Mm. I see like night and day, literally like from like arguing and like yelling, and now it's just like it never happened. It's like the sweetness, the atmosphere has just changed.
So praise God.
Thank you guys for the prayers.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
God bless you. This is a testimony. So, when you get out of the military, one of the things that you usually do is you file for disability. You go to the VA, and the VA reviews your records, medical records, and then they give you a disability rating. So, when I did that in 2011, October 1st, 2011, they came back and they gave me a rating of 90%. And so I thought it should have been higher. And so I appealed it. And this was in 2011. So they lost my paperwork and all over the years. And so finally they got through and reviewed it. And so in August of 2020, they came back and gave me a 100% disability rating.
Mm. Amen.
But they still left out some stuff. And that was really critical to my things that I was dealing with. And so I appealed it. And I was like, hey, no, you should be adding this stuff in there that should be there. And so I just got a letter like last week, I think it was, for this other appeal. And so they added some stuff back in. And not only the first time I got 100%, it was from August 20 to going forward. It didn't go backwards. This time they gave me the rating and they went all the way back and gave me 100% since the day I came out of the military.
Well, praise God. Amen. Amen.
So I'm thanking the Lord for that for sure.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And the other thing is that by God's grace, if I would have got it in 2011, my kids' education should have been paid for.
Mm.
So we're working through that and trying to get get some assistance.
Well, praise God.
So I just want
Amen.
To thank the Lord for that.
Yeah. And they say, won't he do it? I got a hand right here. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Bless
so
you.
On Tuesday, well, like a week ago, well, ever since the concert, I spoke to Lise and I was asking to join the Message Believers Choir. And he said, yeah, give me a month, send me a recording, we'll see what we can do. So I gave him a lot more than a month because I completely forgot. But then I sent him a recording of a song that I wrote. And he was like, wow, that's impressive, you can write a song like that. I was like, yeah, thanks. I didn't write it, but okay. and he was like 2 days after, he was like, oh my goodness, I forgot. You wanted to join the auditions. I was like, yeah. He was like, do you want to sign up? I was like, okay, sure. That happened a week ago. And then on Tuesday this week, at like 9 p.m., I was so tired, was my audition time. And he was like, we get on, there's three people there. I wasn't nervous practicing for the audition or anything, but as soon as they said, hello, Abigail, I was like, oh my God, I'm really nervous. he was like, yeah, I'm just gonna reintroduce myself. So I went through it, and me, when I get super nervous, I start like smiling too much, and it's supposed to be serious, but I literally, I couldn't stop laughing. And I did it, and then I was like, oh my goodness, I couldn't stop laughing. I'm totally losing. I'm not going to round two. I'm going nuts. So I just prayed about it, and I was just going to ask for you guys to pray for me as well, because it's 16, the age limit. And since I'm turning 16 in April, they were like, okay, yeah, whatever, we'll let you do the audition. But yeah, so I want to join, but I don't know if I will. Maybe I missed the audition. I'm going nuts in my mind. So.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll certainly pray for you, sis. And just tell them you know Sister Charisse real good. Yeah. You got a name drop. Yeah.
God bless you. I just wanted to say that little Josue Squishy, he's not feeling too well, so just keep him in prayer.
All right. We sure will. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Okay. All right. We'll take these requests before the Lord and go from there. Let's bow our heads. Amen. Father, we just come in the name of the Lord Jesus, knowing, Father, that we can approach you with any requests and know that you are God that hears, answers our prayers. Brother Kenny is preparing for his surgery. We ask that you would go before him, the doctors, the nurses, and everyone that's assigned, Lord, to his procedure. We ask that, Lord, you would touch, that you would bring freedom and deliver him through this, oh God. And we know that you are God that performed the first surgery on Adam. So, God, we know that you can use this to bring healing to our bodies, and ask that you would do it for Brother Kenny. Lord, that you would give him a speedy recovery from the surgery. Father, we pray for Sister Abigail. She just desires to join the Message Believers Choir, and she's been given this opportunity. God, we pray that you would just open this door for her, and may you use her for your glory and for your honor. And trust, Lord, that Lord, all the choir members realize, Lord, just how impactful what they do helps people all around the world, and how important it is to have a life that God can use. So, Father, I just pray that you would just go before her and give her favor and help her in this transition. We thank you for all the other prayers that have been answered that we heard here on tonight. And Lord, just pray that you just continue to meet the needs of your people. God, you know all things that we're facing, but we know that you are God that moves, amen, on every need, and we're grateful for that. As we prepare to leave this place, and also remember Squishy, God not feeling his best, but we just rebuke the enemy that is attacking him and his body, and God, we plead the blood of Jesus and thank you for his healing in advance. Father, as we prepare to leave this place but not your presence, go with us. God, keep us until we're able to meet together again on Sunday morning. And we want to lift up your servant, Brother Wesco. Father, he just needs your touch, not just him, but Sister Wesco needs you. Sister Pam needs you, and Lord, Sister Tina, and the grandkids, Brother Joe, Lord, all the immediate family here, we pray that you would help each one of them, Lord, through this time. It's not easy, but we just ask, God, that you would just carry them, Lord, even now. And just trust, Lord Jesus, that you would just give peace in the midst of all that's happening. And he's a man of faith. He taught us so much faith that it's just hard for us to doubt. We hear the doctor's report, we hear all of those things, and we know ultimately you are in control. But Father, while we have an opportunity to ask, we ask that you would touch him, that you would raise him up for your glory, Father. And we just trust, oh God, that you would just you would move on the scene, and God, that you would just Lord, just move in every heart, God, is our prayer. We ask that you look upon Brother Jonathan and his wife as they prepare to come this way. And Lord, as he prepares for Sunday morning, use them, Father, to minister to our assembly. And may you just get all the glory and all the honor out of all that happens here in this place. Thank you for all the saints that have traveled and made it back home safely. Others that will be traveling soon, we ask for traveling mercies for them all. And just ask God that you watch over us until we're able to come back together again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you, church. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. We'll be back on Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, for prayer. God bless.